Hey guys, good evening and welcome to the F1 India Community Podcast, where we bring to you an in-depth review of the sport every weekend. You can hear us out on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. With us today, we have panelists Aviral, Shabir and Aryan. Good evening guys and welcome to the Qualification Podcast today. Getting right into it, the eighth race on the calendar, the Styrian Grand Prix, and you know, we have mixed feelings along the grid, guys. So what are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting to have a mixed grid. We have been dying to have it since a long time. Now we finally have it. So it's going to be super center.
Yeah, I think tomorrow's grid is going to be interesting because we have Ferrari and McLaren outside the top 10. And we have the penalty for Bottas. Also, we have both AlphaTauris and Gasly is looking super quick. So I'm looking forward and hoping that, you know, Daniel Ricciardo can get into the top 10 and probably reach around P7 or P6 if he can. Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting mix of the grid because, you know, we've actually been wanting to see this for quite a bit of time. I remember those days in 2017-18 when I used to, you know, sit down and watch a quali and someone would ask me, you know, top six, who's in the top six? Top six mein kaun hai? To be always a Merc Ferrari Red Bull or a Merc Red Bull Ferrari, you know, it's not predictable anymore because, you know, you know, Lando is going to do well, you know, Pierre is going to do well. And now surprisingly, even Yuki has come in the top 10. You know, Leclerc is also going to do well, but he doesn't have the best car there. So he can't plant the Ferrari in the top three just yet. So this whole, you know, mix up of the grid and now with Max Verstappen racking up a decent number of pole positions and giving Hamilton and the Merc team a punch. I think things are just turning out to be more and more interesting. And hopefully the grid just gets more and more competitive as we keep going on in the season and into 2022. So a pretty good day at the quali, I would say. I mean, I pretty much enjoyed it.
I agree. I mean, this is something very unorthodox that I suppose most of us weren't expecting, and with the weather conditions changing, you know, it gives us more uncertainty and insights into like what the race has in store for us tomorrow. Right into Q1, Ocon in the Alpine. Now, he, after renewing his contract, he hasn't had a great start after that. You know, I mean, the last race, due to tire degradation and pace of the car, although he did have a Q3 finish, he ended up out of the points. Now, where does the problem lie with Ocon and Alpine?
So I think I'll just add a point here. Yeah, I'll just add a point here is that compared to probably, you know, the Mercedes engine and the Red Bull, the Honda engine, both of which have made like really good strides over the last few races, and they have, you know, increased their XP and increased their straight line speed. I feel that, you know, Alpine is not progressing to that extent, which is because of which, you know, Ocon is obviously not able to push his car to that level. But obviously, you know, Getting out in Q1 is definitely not something Alpine would have expected from Ocon. And while I think Alpine looked good on the pace in pre-practice sessions, they were probably in the top 5 a lot of times. So yeah, definitely this would have come as a surprise for Ocon, you know, getting kicked out in Q1. Yeah.
Especially, you know, this is going to be adding on Ocon, especially when Alonso has pushed the car into Q3 starting from P9. I think there is, you know, more of a psychological, rather mental awareness or, you know, something like that. Personal belief, I would say. That's the right word, yeah. Personal belief. I think that is the same for my part. And I think it has to do something with that. I don't think so it's a car issue, to be very honest.
I think Ocon, after his contract renewal, the way people are just, you know, pointing it out by saying he's not performing, I just think he's just going through a rough patch, which every, I think, Formula One driver or any, I think, sportsman in general does happen to go through. You know, if you're watching Euros, you know, you'll expect Harry Kane not scoring, so he doesn't become a bad player. So, I mean, I have so many examples to give, but the way, you know, I've seen these posts, you know, Ocon has taken his contract very, you know, in a light way or something. I mean, he was right there at the level of Fernando. I agree. And Fernando is just an exceptionally good driver. And for, I think, the last two rounds, he's not been right up there. But I expect Ocon to make a solid comeback. He's a very, very strong driver. And he's always been strong, I think, even when he was in Racing Point. And he's also got, he was also a Merck reserve driver. So he has a lot of expertise and knowledge in the sport. So, and he's also picked up a lot of information from different teams. So I'm sure he has something in plan that's probably not working out right now. But I'm expecting Ocon to come back with a bang very soon.
I agree with all your thoughts. I mean, the Alpine car alongside the Aston Martin has probably picked up from where it was after the first race. And with Ocon having a constant run of out-qualifying his teammate and then having a pitfall, I mean, all of us hope that he gets back on track and, you know, carries his team alongside his teammate to where the car actually, the true potential lies. Right, moving across the grid to Kimi Raikkonen now. We have seen Giovinazzi this season out-qualifying his teammate consistently and even putting a better performance. Now, where does the Raikkonen and Alfa Romeo relationship lie after seeing him getting knocked out in Q1 or Q2? Because Giovinazzi recently had a top 10 finish too on a qualifying round. So where does the Raikkonen and Alfa Romeo relationship lie right now? And what does the future hold for Giovinazzi?
Okay, so I think recently I read somewhere that, you know, in an interview, Giovinazzi said that he was asked, you know, why Ferrari chose Carlos Sainz when, you know, Ferrari had Giovinazzi in Alfa Romeo, whom they could have promoted instead of, you know, bringing another driver from a different team. So, I mean, in response to that, Giovinazzi said that, you know, he hasn't been able to, you know, convince Ferrari that he has been able to, you know, outperform the car and, you know, do at his best level. So I think that realization has come into Giovinazzi that, you know, he is there through the Ferrari Academy, and, you know, if he wants to drive for a Ferrari, he needs to push, he needs to, you know, give his 110% and whatever. And I think it's that realization which is, you know, making him, you know, now bring out the maximum from the car, which probably we didn't see from him in the past few seasons. And I think that change in him is now also, you know, letting him qualify ahead of Kimi. So Kimi, we know, you know, he's getting older, and, you know, it's natural that your reactions and reflexes, you know, they start dipping down. So I think with time, we'll definitely see Giovinazzi do even better. And if he takes his, you know, chances at Ferrari seriously, even though, you know, there's an extra marker waiting in the line, there are a lot of other drivers, but I think Giovinazzi has, you know, set his sights on proving to Ferrari that, you know, they have chosen a good driver.
Aryan, any thoughts on this?
I think I agree with Avi. He's actually covered quite a bit of it. I think over the winter testing, Giovinazzi has worked extremely, extremely hard because there was an actual chance, you know, of a Ferrari seat. You know, I'm sure, you know, it's every Italian driver's dream probably to win at Monza with Ferrari and play the anthem right there. So I'm sure that's playing on his mind, or rather was, before Carlos took that up. And I really don't actually see him taking up that Ferrari seat even after Carlos, because I think Mick is the next in line for the seat. And as far as Antonio goes, I think his mental preparation has been terrific. I mean, more than his driving style and the changes he's made with himself over the winter and the car evolving probably and the engine getting better at the back of the Alfa. But I think the mental preparation that he's done is extraordinary, I think. Working so hard with himself and, you know, going up against a seasoned campaigner like Raikkonen, the same car, and, you know, you're coming at the back of a horrible season where Raikkonen's almost beaten you in every qualifying and race. So from there to, you know, consistently outperforming Kimi. Now, the other disadvantage with Kimi, as Avi pointed, was the age. Yes, that's a huge factor. He's 41 now. So I think it's gone days for Kimi. But yeah, I'm just so happy to see Giovinazzi performing so well again. So yeah.
I agree. He has performed really well this season, and really unfortunate when a person puts in so much hard work, but due to the competition available, it's difficult to get a seat where you actually wanted to be. And moving on to Q2, we have Ricardo surprisingly not qualifying into Q1. Now, all of us saw Ricardo put in a great lap during FP2 and was quite strong in FP3 as well. But there are still question marks that hang in the air of what is his current potential with McLaren. Shabbir, any thoughts on this?
So, about Daniel Ricciardo, I think we saw he was coming into his prime in the French Grand Prix when he was pulling that, you know, late breaking maneuvers and overtakes. We all had the feeling that, yeah, Daniel is now coming into his prime. He's coming back. Somehow, I feel very taken aback when he's qualifying, when he's getting eliminated in Q2 in Austrian Grand Prix. But there is always Sunday to watch for. I think there is some different strategy going in the back of the mind of McLaren probably. And we all want, you know, Daniel to finish way ahead than his qualifying. So I think he's coming into it. But, you know, the qualifying setup, he's just not getting the right point of braking into this car, you know, which he's found, I think, in the racing point. But for the qualifying, he's not. So let's see what he does tomorrow. I think he'll definitely get into top 10 tomorrow, for sure.
And just adding a point to Shabir, I think the point that he's made that the braking is incorrect, I think it's so accurate. Because I was seeing a corner-by-corner analysis. I was seeing a corner-corner analysis of Daniel and Lando into turn 4. I think Lando's just made up like a massive 2/10 on Daniel just in that one turn. So there's something wrong with the brake balance of Daniel. And as Shabir has beautifully pointed out, and I think he's definitely going to work on it. So yeah, I think, thank you Shabir for bringing that up. I mean, it's a beautiful point. Just had to acknowledge it.
Yeah, thanks man. Cheers.
That's actually a great point, because we had questions of Daniel's reliability in the car and seeing the French Grand Prix and the strategy that him and the team pulled off. We were quite confident of him coming in stronger into this race. But I mean, this is not it for now. The main race is tomorrow, and we all hope to see him make a comeback into what is meant the top 10 or the top, even the top 7 finish for him. Right. But there was a moment in Q2 when our hearts skipped a beat when we saw Russell at P10, because that's a dream for every person watching the qualification every Saturday. Aviral, 8/1000ths of a second. Could Russell have made it today if Lance Stroll didn't improve his lap? But although Lance Stroll looked strong throughout the weekend, how unfortunate is this? And do you think Russell has the potential to come back the next weekend?
So I think I'll start with the fact that, you know, there was that incident where Yuki, he hampered Valtteri's flying lap, I think. And there was a suggestion that he might be under investigation. And if he's found to really impede Valtteri, then, you know, he could simply get a 3-place or a 5-place grid drop. And in that case, you know, we'll see George promoted into the top 10. So, okay, this fact apart, I mean, I think we don't hear so much about Williams. We don't hear about Williams' progress and, you know, what they're doing. You know, the limelight is all on, you know, Red Bull and Max versus Lewis and, you know, Ferrari and all those guys. But, you know, silently, I think Williams in the background are working as a team, and they have definitely improved their car. And, you know, there's a lot less news we don't get to know about what Williams are doing. So that is one part. And the second thing is, obviously, you know, I think, I don't know, probably George could again be fighting with Bottas tomorrow. You know, if Bottas drops a few places and George gets into the top 10, and I don't know, you can see, like, you know, Williams fighting with Mercedes, this is something crazy. This is something, you know, which nobody would ever have dreamt of. So, and it's just kind of, you know, it's naturally just looking like, you know, with battery having such a bad luck and a bad run of races, and, you know, George almost getting into Q3 today. You know, all the signs have started pointing that the next year George would replace Valtteri. So, and maybe, you know, I'm just speculating, George might have known, you know, in the background that Mercedes would have told him that you are replacing Valtteri. So maybe he has that extra confidence in him. This is just my speculation. But yeah, I think George has spent enough time in a Williams, with all due respect to that great team. But he should definitely get into the Mercedes seat next year. That's my view.
That's actually a good point, because the expectations that Russell has set, that, you know, the way he has performed in a Williams and carrying it 8,000ths away from a Q3 is a statement out there. But then it calls into question of his role in Mercedes with Lewis Hamilton, because Hamilton is definitely going to renew his contract. So are we going to see Lewis Hamilton versus a Nico Rosberg, or are they going to carry the team? What are your thoughts, Aryan?
I think we're heading for another Nico versus Lewis battle, because you see, George isn't, you know, the man like Bottas who would just, you know, be instructed by James that, look, James, George, it's James, you know, you have to let Lewis by. He's not that kind of a man. He doesn't want to play a wingman's game. He dreams big. And at his age, I mean, the kind of potential and speed he's got, I don't think he has to even be that wingman. He can always be in a commanding position. We call him Mr. Saturday because he's always out-qualified his teammate on a Saturday. He's always been very good on a Sunday as well. Maybe not as good as a Saturday, but yes, he doesn't have a very bad weekend unless, you know, he messes up his own race. But I think the way George likes dominating, I think it's going to be two hotheads going into that silver or, you know, black arrow, whatever the car is for next year. And if that happens, yeah. But if that happens, I think it's going to be one heck of a season, because it's now going to be a Max versus George versus Hamilton fight. I mean, George is going to fight his own teammate. And that's what we want to see. An inter-team battle down at Mercedes, where both of them are given the same car and they're asked to prove their worth. I mean, sadly for Bottas, it's never happened. He's always been the team player, you know, the guy who always sits on the back seat and commands the team, you know, helps them bring a solid haul of points, but doesn't challenge for the win. He has also lacked a lot of luster in the past two seasons. You know, today, surprisingly, he came second, but, you know, he's not even been there with Hamilton in qualifying. He's always shown a sort of a gap despite having the same car. And with the chassis swap also, the controversy that was going on till last week, Hamilton just silenced all the doubters, because with Bottas's car, he literally put the car ahead of Bottas. So I think Bottas is losing confidence in the car and the team, in the team's strategy, in the team vision for Bottas. So I guess, yeah, that's about it. I think we're heading for a solid 2022. It's going to be George versus Hamilton for me. I don't see George sitting back.
I second that, because, you know, that's a great point as well. That's why I had to, you know, bring it up, because all the speculation and rumors around the paddock, I hope the summer break brings with more clarity on the situation down at Mercedes. Now, getting right into Q3, Bottas actually, talking about the Mercedes, Bottas actually outperforming his own teammate Hamilton is quite a statement, but it's hard luck because he has a three-place grid penalty now. Is Bottas just having a bad time and a bad year, or is his performance actually been downgraded? Because we've seen him performing massively well last season, getting a couple of wins, but we've also seen him this season having unfortunate moments as well as messing up his own race in a few key aspects. So what are your thoughts on this, guys? Shabir?
So I personally feel that if Levi is getting the, so pre-practice too, yesterday, he spoiled his car in the pit lane because of it. You know, he had to reverse a little bit to get out of the pit lane. So that is why he's getting a 3-place drop. Starting tomorrow, he'll be starting from the third row. It's actually more Hamilton. So I think today he has done very good in qualifying, you know, especially after being, you know, controversially blocked by Yuki going into this run. You know, still he has been able to put up a very good lap in Q2, and he had that got that clean air behind Hamilton in the final run. So why he spun? I think he's trying to prove a point. He's trying, and he in trying to do well. What I'm trying to say is he's trying to do a little bit over where he's pushing the line a little bit, and he's just crossing the line at a little bit of time. So that is where he's making the mistake. Okay, but he had a very good lap today. I'm sure there is a 200 race winner within him with saying push, push, push. But sometimes, you know, while trying to push, it does a little bit over. And yeah, the controversy, wingman style, George coming into the stage, swapping, that all going back of the mind, it definitely hampers you in the confidence. Not good. But yeah, he's trying to do his best. That's for sure.
I agree. I think we're heading in for a great race tomorrow with, you know, the front row lockout between the contenders for the World Championship, Max Verstappen taking P1 and Hamilton taking P2. But surprisingly, Norris putting in a flyer of a lap and taking P3 on the grid due to Bottas's grid penalty. Now, that was a great performance by Norris, and even Gasly having an amazing weekend, taking P6. Both of these guys are having a great season, and I hope these guys can actually pull it off and get a great standing on the World Drivers' Championship. What are your thoughts on this, guys? How was the performance, and how would you rate it for both of them on the grid today? Arun?
I absolutely agree that, I mean, they are, the future looks very bright and exciting for the two of them. I think Lando with the McLaren Merc coming in together has just worked wonders for him. And he always had the habit of, you know, always being the better teammate. And he's just, you know, despite having a good driver like Ricardo next to him, he's absolutely, you know, outperformed him completely. Starting the same car that Ricardo finished in, I guess, 14th or 15th, you know, he's starting that same car, planted it on the second row of the grid. He's P3. He's ahead of one Red Bull, and the same Red Bull that's competing for the World Championship. They're at the top of the constructors. So you know what kind of lap that was, and that was one heck of a lap. So I think whatever words I use right now are not going to be enough to describe how good Lando Norris is becoming. And I think the British competition between George Russell and Lando is something which I personally want to look out for in the future. Probably Merc teammates. You may never know. I mean, anything can happen. And going to Pierre Gasly, I think since the day Dr. Marco called him and demoted him back to AlphaTauri, the fire in his eyes have never disappeared. I think the way he has been insulted at Red Bull has just motivated him to push on the throttle even harder and to prove that he's still, you know, a driver who can be considered for the second Red Bull seat should things not be working out for Sergio Perez. And maybe the time given to Gasly was very little, but the way he was insulted was a little too harsh as for me. And since that day, even the last season, a win at Monza, you know, whatever opportunity is coming, grabbing it with both hands, you know, consistently being fast every race weekend, it's something which, you know, few drivers only can possibly achieve. So, yeah, that's my take on the two. And I'm, you know, hoping for a cracker of a race for the two of them tomorrow. Over to you, Brandon.
Great input, guys. Heading right over into the predictions for tomorrow. I would like request you all to give me your potential winner of the race tomorrow, followed by the driver of the day. Avi?
I think Max Verstappen is going to win. And I also want Lando Norris to finish second ahead of Lewis. So my top three is Max, Lando and Lewis, and driver of the day would be Lando.
Lando Norris for the win and Daniel Ricciardo for the driver of the day.
I see you've gone on McLaren out there. Aryan.
Yeah, little bit bold.
I would think Max would just take the win because irrespective of the conditions, he's brilliant. So Max followed by Hamilton, followed by, I'm a little confused between Lando or Perez because both are equally good. So one of them is definitely going to take the podium. And I think the driver of the day is going to be either Charles Leclerc or Seb Vettel because I guess they're going to make a lot of progress throughout the race. Or Carlos Sainz or Seb Vettel, not Charles. Because they'll have the free tire choice and I hope they can, you know, kill it in the race tomorrow. So, yeah, that's my prediction.
Great, guys. Thank you for giving us your time today. And looking forward to the race tomorrow. A banger, we hope. And thank you so much, guys. And stay safe.